Church, say amen.
Amen.
If you love the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not ashamed of being saved, say amen.
Amen.
Is the Lord good or what? God is worthy to be praised, isn't he? If he's worthy to be praised, praise him.
Yeah.
Praise him. He's worthy. He's worthy. He is worthy to be praised. If it hasn't been your best day today thus far, do your best to get over it, because it's not your day anyhow. This is the day that the Lord has made, and he's blessed us to participate in it. Take it from a brother who's moving kind of slow, but so glad to be moving. So glad to be active. I was telling Pastor Hardy, I said, man, you would think at my age and as long as I've been here, I'd know better to wear new shoes on a crutch. These soles got super glue on them. I keep stumbling and my feet keep getting stuck to the carpet. And I felt so good when I bought the shoes. I saw they look nice, pretty sharp. I put them on this morning and it sealed me to the floor. I've been struggling ever since, man. But certainly to Pastor Kay, Pastor Artie, to the leadership of this great ministry.
Yes.
It is an absolute pleasure to be here. Leona and I are ecstatic about coming and sharing. It's not my first time. It's home to me. It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm privileged to come and share in this 20-year celebration. And it certainly needs to be celebrated as well as appreciated. And I thank God for each and every one of you who are here today. God is good. And and he's like that all the time. And when you consider how tolerant God has to be to deal with a flawed vessel such as myself, it lets you know how good God is. So I want each of us to appreciate what has been accomplished, how, and all of the things that were necessary to get you to this 20-year celebration. I want to say to Pastor Lindsay in particular, and just to publicly say, this young man has always had a tremendous spirit to serve God, even when he was real, real young. He's still young. And then I met Pastor Kay, I met him, and I looked how God put these two young men together with vision and compassion. But truth of the matter is, Artie gives me a lot more credit than I actually deserve. He's always had a spirit to serve, and he had it for a long time. I was telling him the other day, and I love him dearly. I've just been angry for over 20 years because we sent him to Grand Rapids to go to school. Not to live, not to stay. And when I told him, you know, when he left, I said, I'll see you, baby. I was for real. I meant to see you. I was like, wow. He left. But that's what ministry does. So today I want to share with you this from two passages of scripture that are so familiar to many of you I know. One is Galatians 6:9, and of course King James, it reads, don't grow weary in well-doing, for you shall reap in due season if you don't faint. I love it in the New Living Translation. It says, so let's not get tired of doing what's good. At just the right time, we'll reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Now look at Romans 5, but just make a note. You look at it later. And it starts with therefore being justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations work with patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, or in the King James, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, the ungodly. While we were yet his enemy, while we were yet still estranged, while there was still a gulf between us, he died because of his love for us. Never our love for him. So thus, I want to share with you the subject of understanding the journey. Understanding the journey. And we use that term, you know, life is a journey, and it is. But the fact of the matter is, do we ever ask God in our prayer to help us understand it, as to opposed to always trying to manipulate it? Even when we pray, most of our prayers are to get God to acquiesce to what we want. And we've gotten so good at it that we can even slide a want onto the need list. Like you gotta have it to survive. Life is a journey. But it's filled with lessons and heartaches, joys, celebrations, special moments. And they ultimately lead us to a destination or a purpose in life. But isn't it interesting that even for the Christian, a path is not always smooth. It's not always filled with joys. It's not always full of victory. It's not always about overcoming our hardships. Sometimes we get waylaid and knocked over. Sometimes we get broken and fragmented. That's right. Even as people of God. Because sometimes we become so enamored with the destination that we stop paying attention to the signs. Before Leona and I left home, we were sitting in a driveway, and we put the address to the hotel into the GPS. So we were absolutely clear of our destination. We knew exactly where we were going. It even told us approximately how long it would take to get here. So we felt pretty good about getting here, provided God provided us safety, everything else was taken care of. We knew where we were going, how long it would take, which direction to start. The GPS was clear. But what I didn't know was how many signs I would see between Belleville, Michigan, and Grand Rapids. I was amazed by all of the different signs that were necessary for me to get here safely and efficiently. I knew where I was going, about how long it would take, whole nine yards, but I was overwhelmed by how many signs I actually needed to help make my journey more efficient. There were speed limit signs that kept me out of jail. Yeah. Yes, sir. There were lane in signs that kept me out of the hospital. There were detour signs. There were construction signs which protected the workers. There was a highway memorial sign which reminded me of the people who drive the highways, who lost their life, officers who lost their lives keeping me safe on the highway, that they named the highway after him or a stretch of the highway. So it reminded me of that, a sign that there were others who had to do some sacrificial things for me to make it safely. There were rest area signs. There were exit signs and entry signs so that you did not try to go, the wrong way on an entry sign or an exit sign. There were all types of signs, mile marker signs. I-96 West that helped me know I was still headed to Grand Rapids. Yes, sir. There was a wrong way sign. And though at times all of those signs and trying to keep up with them all, I couldn't remember them all, I couldn't read all of them, they were a bit overwhelming at times. But dealing with those different signs and paying attention to the signs that makes the journey to your destination more effective and more memorable. I wonder how many signs you're here now at this 20-year destination. It's just a stop in your path. But I wonder how many signs had to be paid attention to for you to be where you are now. Some of you who were not even members of this church the last time I was here, all of the signs that were there for the leadership and the leadership committees and the people that are committed to Tabernacle. So many signs were necessary for you to be here today.
That's right.
So I was like, wow, I don't know how I'm going to be able to deal with all of these different signs. But it helped me handle that highway with confidence and assurance that I could get it done, that I could drive safely here if I simply paid attention to the signs. But sometimes we become so enamored with the destination. We are privileged people, and I want you to pay attention. When you get back home, you read Galatians 6:9, and you read Romans 5. Because it reminds us that we are a privileged people. God loved us so much that he died for us. We are privileged in the sonship of God. It's a privilege to be called a child of God. It's too many people who believe that they're doing God a favor by coming to church at all. There are people who believe that they're doing God a favor because I joined up with you. But the truth of the matter is, God acquiesced. God allowed us, because of his love for us, to be a child of God. There's no way the way I ran the streets of Detroit, as many nightclubs as I sung, and as many much dirt as I did along the way, that I should have ever had the privilege of being called a child of God. Forget pastor, forget leadership, forget president. I'm just glad for somebody to know that the God of the universe loves me. Loves me, loves me. I don't know why he loves me so much, except he's God. It's a privilege. It's a privilege to be used as a vessel. It's a privilege for others to respect you as a child of God. It's a privilege. Because he said, while you were my enemy, I loved you. I loved you when you did not know what love was. I loved you when you did not know how to love me back. I loved you without looking for anything. You do understand that we don't help God do nothing. We don't make God better any kind of way. None. Man without God is lost. God without man is still God. The truth of the matter is we don't bring nothing to the table to enhance him, but he allows us to be vessels to touch others. These young men, 20 years. Because ministry is not easy. Now, if ministry didn't have people, ministry would be easy. But people, a ministry without people is not a ministry at all. It's a true oxymoron. And yet you've got to deal with these wonderful people of God. You've got to deal with people who now are saints of God, who have moved from sinner to saint, from broken to whole, from lost to found. You got people who are not saved and don't know how to act like it. It's amazing, man. People take me. I've never understood how somebody expects a 40-year sinner to become a part of a congregation and immediately know how to be holy. You just can't do it. You just can't do it. You just can't do it. I had a friend. I had a guy who joined my church, and we were celebrating. And he said, "Pastor, I have a confession to make. He just broke down. So he, oh Jesus, I don't know how to tell you this, but I felt weak, and last night I smoked a joint." That's weed. Oh my God. And so we're sitting, he's crying, and I'm saying, "Praise God." I said, "Well, how long had it been since you smoked your joint?" He said, "6 months." I said, "Praise God, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus." He said, "Did you just hear what I said? I told you last night I had a joint." I said, "I know, but how often did you smoke before?" He said, "Every day." And I said, "You haven't smoked in 6 months, hallelujah." What do you think God is saying? God is saying, hallelujah. You've always been flawed. You've always been broken and fragmented. You've always had issues. And somewhere along this journey, there will be signs to remind you, I'm still in need of an awesome God. There will be signs to remind you that you should keep praying. There's going to be signs to remind you that at the drop of a hat, you could slip. There's going to be signs to remind you. And that's why leadership such as this, faithful leadership such as these two young men have brought to this church, is the kind of leadership that will get you through the trials and tribulations of life. Because just because you're saved doesn't give you carte blanche to victory. How did you get here? Because everybody who started is not here. I'm not talking about the ones who went to glory. I'm talking about the ones who failed to see the vision. Or if they saw the vision, it wasn't what they wanted. Somebody had not only to stay focused, but somebody had to pay attention to the signs. The signs between Detroit and Grand Rapids helped me a lot. It gave me confidence that I could make it because I knew that somebody had put some thought in to directing this along the highway. How many times have you wondered what God was doing? I don't know about y'all. I've had 250,000 arguments with God. And it's 250,000 to zero. I lost every one of them. But I argued, though. I argued. I prayed and labored, sweat, prayed. And God would give me an answer. And I'm like, for real? That's it? That's your answer to all of my pleading and crying? That's it? Keep the faith. That's it? Keep the faith till when? Give me some dates. Next week, next month. What do you mean just keep the faith? That's too general. I want to know when I'm going to be rich. But along that way, along that rock, I remember there were so many signs that I missed, and then so many that I paid attention to. You have to be careful that you're not so focused on the destination that you miss the marvelous signs that God has to make your journey efficient. One of the greatest ironies of the kingdom of God is that God expects you to keep things in perspective. God expects you to keep things in context. That's why you learn the word of God. That's why you learn the word of God. As antithetical as it is to the world, you learn the word of God so that you can keep things in context. Because if the only reason to come to church is to feel good, it's other things you can use to feel good. We come to learn, we come to grow, but we come to present ourselves as vessels. I tell our choir all the time, don't sing songs you don't mean. A song is a vow with music to it. We tell the Lord, I'm available to you. And then when the Lord come to get you to do something, you busy. When the Lord tell you to love somebody that won't love you back, I ain't that available. So don't sing a song because it makes you feel good. It's a vow with music. So you have to be careful. You have to have leaders who can go beyond the pain, leaders who can take you where you need to be but don't want to go. Because if you want to go, you don't need leadership. If it's comfortable to you, you don't need leadership. If you already know, like people always say, well, Pastor, I just don't see your vision. Yeah, he didn't get it to you. How about that? How about following the leadership you trust? How many times have you driven and couldn't see? I ain't never driving, can't see. Yes, you have. You've been behind a transfer truck, you couldn't see in front of him. And you stayed behind him. Figuring, he know where he going. He do this all the time. So, I'm going in that direction. I'll just follow him. How many times have you done it? I've done it. I've been lost in the mountains and didn't know how to get it. I had preached revival and was lost. I said, Lord, how in the world are you going to let me drive 1,000 miles, preach in your name, and now I'm in the mountains lost? And it's dark. And I'm scared. And I don't know where to go. But he said, just keep going. Here's what I want you to do right now. I know you don't know where to go, but keep going. I'm going to give you a sign. Keep going. Keep going. I know you don't clearly understand, but keep going. And it wasn't long. I ran into a transfer truck. I said, look at God. Out here at night by myself, that dude been driving that truck a long time. He know these mountains. I don't know where he going, but wherever he going, I'm going to, because I don't know where I'm at. I got behind that truck for 90 miles. 90 miles. He went right, I went right. He went left, I went left. He went up, I went up. I said, I don't care where he's going. I'm following him, because right now I'm in total darkness, and any light you can get me to will be a blessing. And I followed that truck right on out of them mountains into the city. And all I could say was, Lord, thank you for that sign. It came a time the destination wasn't important. I needed signs to get me out of the wilderness. And sometimes the things that you go through, look what he says. Look what he says. Here's the privilege. While we were yet sinners, while we were yet his enemy, he loved us unconditionally. While nobody else wanted us, he did. When we were broken, he was our wholeness. When we couldn't see, he was our vision. When we didn't know what to do, there he was. He said, listen, I don't need you for anything. I don't want you for anything. I just want you to follow me. What do we do to make God better? What advice have you ever given God? How'd you help him? And I said, Lord, this is the most unilateral relationship I've ever encountered. You get nothing from me, and I get everything from you. What a privilege to bask in that kind of relationship. It's not just about church. It's not just about church. You know, we're the only culture that goes to church anyway. Every other culture goes to worship because they realize I am the church. How can the church lead the church? Well, I'm going to church. But you are the church. So wherever you are, there ought to be an opportunity to worship. Wherever you are, there ought to be an opportunity to sow into somebody else. Wherever you are, kindness is needed. Wherever you are, politeness is needed. Wherever you are, the Spirit of God is needed. Whether you're at the bus stop, whether you're at a laundromat, doesn't matter where you are the church. Watch this leadership. This leadership, you guys are just being who you are. But this tabernacle, the tabernacle, that man, this is an awesome ministry. And I'm gonna tell you why. It's because there are no lines of demarcation as it pertains to race, ethnicity, any of that. This is all about Jesus. This is all about Jesus. Whatever language you speak, it's about Jesus. It's about love. It's about recognizing we're different. It's about the signs that you get. I tell people all the time, you're so enamored with the destination. I'm not worried about my destination. Jesus secured my destination. I'm on my way to heaven. This is not about where I'm going. I know where I'm going. The price has been paid. What I'm trying to learn to do is recognize the signs in the journey. Yes. And when I can recognize those journey signs, when I understand the journey, when I understand that I don't even belong here, when I understand that I didn't earn this, when I understand that it's a privilege, when I understand that I should be looking up at a God that chose a flawed vessel, that loved me unconditionally, I already know where I'm going. I'm trying to be a sign, or at least recognize signs that would help others follow me.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Believe it or not, I'm almost through. And I hope you don't believe it. Not really. I'm trying to preach as, you know, short as they do. So I don't make nobody uncomfortable, but I don't know how. So I think it's imperative that we recognize and appreciate our journey in Christ. Our journey, man. The people you met. How often do you think of people you can't stand? Not often. We don't think too often of people that we can't stand. But let me tell you something. Those people that came to you and got on your nerves, you know that person who held you 15 minutes longer than you wanted to be held, could have kept you out of an accident?
That's right.
Could have kept you from being in the path of something you didn't want to be in the path of? I recognize that there are just simply some times that God just simply wants you to give yourself to somebody that has done nothing for you, a total stranger. That's what you learn in ministries like this. That's what you learn when you got humble men who preach the word of God and then go out and show you that what they teach you, they're all about. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? So what I'm saying is, you got to understand the signs, understand the journey, understand what's going on here. I'm in a privileged position.
Yes.
But look what he says. But don't you grow weary. Don't you get tired of doing what's right. Don't you get tired of doing what's right. Don't get tired of loving the unlovable. Don't get tired of praying. Don't get tired of doing good. Don't get tired of doing it God's way.
Yeah.
Huh? Mm. So these signs are important. Heaven may be my destination, but life is the canvas in which I paint. Life is my canvas, and life is my way of showing somebody that God lives in me. When I'm more tolerable than I feel like being, when I'm more patient than I should have been, when I'm forgiving of people who won't even forgive me, when I love the unlovable, all of these things are signs that point to Jesus. There are too many of us who think that humility is a weakness. It's not a weakness, it's simply a quiet strength. Humility doesn't mean that you're weak. Humility means you recognize the signs. Humility means that you recognize that nobody can take more from you than God can give you back. I don't worry about somebody getting a victory over me, because the truth of the matter is, you are not the one who sustains me. People say, I just can't stand it when people come to church, you speak to them, they don't speak back. I don't know why that bothers people. You didn't speak when I didn't know you. So what's the difference? It does not matter. When I didn't know you, we didn't speak either. I don't speak for you to speak back. I speak to let you know I've got the joy of Jesus down in my heart. Everything that he does for me, I'm appreciative. Every time he wakes me up, People tickle me. Get all in name of Jesus. Come on. The best part of waking up is Folgers. The best part of waking up is waking up. That's the best part of waking up. Every time I wake up, I say, Lord, 73 years old, and I'm here another day. 73, one foot in front of another. That's enough for me, because I don't deserve it. I shouldn't even be here. I shouldn't have been forgiven. But I want to say, Lord, thank you for all of your goodness. Thank you for your kindness. I try not to miss the signs. I don't want to miss the signs. I don't want to miss the signs. I don't want to miss the signs. Because the truth of the matter is, you can't mess up my journey if I don't miss the signs. Come on. You ever have people coming to church, face all crinkled up? When they come to my church, with their face like that, I just wave. Because, see, they want me to say, what's wrong, baby? Ain't doing it. I am not doing it. Not today. Not today. God been too good to me. I didn't come up in here to see your crinkled little face. I came up in here to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for another day. Thank you for another week that I got through. Thank you for getting my family home. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my children. Thank you for what you allowed me to do. A day's work. I didn't come here to see crinkly. I came here to praise God. All week long, God been good to you. All week long. And you upset because somebody didn't speak. Shut up. Why are you going to be upset because somebody didn't speak?
No, sir.
Talk. I spoke and they didn't.
And you let that jack up your day.
Help us.
Leadership like this. Let me tell y'all something. How old are you? Okay, I got shoes on in you. 73. You wasn't even allowed out the yard, neither one of y'all. Before I graduated high school, you couldn't even leave the yard. I know more than you. As it relates to life, most of y'all, your grandfather, great grandfather, you can text, but I know more than you. I saw a young boy the other day. I know he's lying. I wasn't even impressed. He ain't texting nothing. I texted my daughter the other night. She texted me back saying, I'm still waiting. And that's since I got fast. Here's what I want to get through and I'm done. Life is a journey of hardships. You think these men have had nothing but victory in these 20 years? You think it ain't been nothing but victory? If you think this ministry was hard, you got to recognize not only did they have to sow into you, not only did they have to acquiesce to you, not only they have to love you. Not only did they have to study for you. Not only did they have to overcome for you. That was just the church work. I can't even imagine what they had to go through in their personal life. Don't you know that a pastor has a personal life? When I come home, Leona does not call me pastor. When I walk in, she calls me Jake. Jake, I want the carpet done. Jake, I want new curtains. Jake, my car all needs to be changed. And I'd be standing there saying to myself, I'm Pastor Gaines. I ain't never said that to her. This first time she heard it, because I ain't stupid. My name is Jake at home, just like any other husband. My wife needs attention. My wife wants things. So not only do they have to deal with you, all of these personalities. You ever notice that people don't walk up in a court talking about who don't have a law degree, talking about I object. They don't walk up into no operating room talking about hand me that scalpel. But everybody's a freaking theologian. Everybody know the Bible. Ain't studied a verse, but they can tell you what to preach. Ain't studied a verse, they can tell you how to preach. They can even distinguish between a dry sermon and a good one. Well, you know, Pastor, that was kind of dry. It's dry because you don't know nothing. So not only have they got to lead this leadership, not only do they have to pray for you, but they've got children who have questions, who look up and daddy gone. They got kids who hurt and they look up, but daddy is bailing one of your kids out of jail. I had a bless her heart. She gone to she gone. Maybe she isn't glory, but she gone. Told me flat out. I just want you to know, Pastor, this is during my pastor's anniversary, 36 years now. Oh, Pastor, did I miss your anniversary celebration this week? Been the same week, 36 years. Same week. Same 6 days. Five, whatever they were. You missed them all, so it don't matter. Had a nerve to tell me, I just wanted you to know, the Lord moved upon me to send a hefty contribution to T.D. Jakes' ministry. I said, somebody, I felt so good, I mailed him a check. Well, but you come to my anniversary, and you always in my face about something. And then I bailed your son out of jail with my money that you was going to pay me back. But somehow somebody must have robbed you of it because you never gave it to me. I said to her, dear, that's bless you. We're not going to follow. I said, did you? She sent that to T.D. Jackson. I said, God bless you. I'm sure that blessed his $1 million ministry. But the next time your little tacky-ass son go to jail, instead of calling me, I want you to call T.D. Jakes. And tell him Bubbly Bob is in jail and see how much help you get. I just want you to understand before I leave this place, don't take them for granted. Sow into them, because their labor has nothing to do with their personal life. They still have a personal life that they have to go and deal with. So I want to leave you with this thought right here. The signs. When people hurt you, quit making that a huge issue. It's just a sign. It's a journey sign. When people talk about you behind your back, it's not devastating. It's just a journey sign. When people say they're going to do something but don't do it, everybody's flawed. So it's just a journey sign. Don't let people mess up what God is sowing into you. When people disappoint you, it's just a journey sign. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Pastor K, don't get tired of teaching. Pastor Artie, don't get tired. When won't nobody love you back, teach anyhow. When nobody appreciates it, teach anyhow. It's just a journey sign. Don't take it personal. It's a part of the flawed aspect of the ministry of God. So here's what I learned in my years. I just want to congratulate you all on 20 years. 20 years. 20 years. 20 years, man. Yeah, come on, come on. 20 years. 20 years. 20 years is a long time. 20 years is a long time. That's a long time to do a lot of things. That's a long time. 20 years, a long time to be on a job. It's a long time to be married. It's a long time to be broke. It's a long time.
Yes, sir.
20 years, 20 years, 20 years, 20 years. Man, I remember when this kid left. 20 years, 20, he was a teenager when he gave his life to Christ at Synagogue Baptist Church. He was a teenager, but he had a spirit to give. I ain't surprised at none of this. And then when I met Pastor K, you know, I liked him because he just never quit smiling. Every time I saw him, man, he just smiling. He just smiling. How you doing? Fine, how are you? He just smiling. I don't care when I saw him. If I saw him in a pulpit, he was smiling. If he was in a hall, he was smiling. He'd be standing up here doing praise and worship, and he's smiling. Every time you see him, he's smiling. There's a spirit that says everything ain't perfect, but I serve a God who's able. Everything ain't like I want it, but I serve a God who's able. Can I use this here? I serve a God who is able. I serve a God who is able. Even when I'm broken, God got me. When I'm hurt, God got me. When I feel like nobody cares, God got me. God got me. God got me. If I don't have a dime in my pocket, God got me. You know what I love about all them years that I was broke? That I was broke, and I was broke, man. Me and broke was just like this. We was tight. And everywhere I went, broke went. But you know what I found out? Once you go through something, the devil can't trick you with that no more. You know what? The devil can't say, well, Jake, if you serve me, you'll never be broke. Broke don't scare me. I've done broke. Me and broke been tight for years. Me and broke got it going on. You can't bribe me with broke.
Come on.
Been there, done that. I know how to eat broke, smile broke, I can dance broke, I can do a lot broke. I know how to do broke.
Yeah.
Broke don't bother me. It's just a sign that I still need a true and living God.
Yeah.
It's just a sign that I need to pray every day. It's just a sign that God is still good.
Yes.
So I want you to remember a few of these signs, and I'm done. Bring my crutch out here. Come get me. I'm done. Because if you come get me, then I'm reminded that I'm done. Okay, but see, when you love folk and they don't love you back, it's just a journey sign. Just tell people another sign on my journey. Another sign to let me know I'm able. Another sign to let me know I can overcome. Another sign to let me know I'm bigger than I was last week. Another sign to let me know I'm growing in the Lord. Another sign to let me know that God still got my back. It did not break my spirit. I'm hurt, but it didn't break my spirit. I'm hurt, but it didn't take my smile. I'm hurt, but I still got my girth. I'm hurt, but I'm still able to serve. When God makes you wait on something you think you really need, it's just a journey sign. When you can't see, feel, or taste your breakthrough, it's just a journey sign. When you pray and God goes silent, it's just a journey sign. I have been praying and praying and praying, and I'm waiting for God to answer. Pray and pray and pray, and you know how we do. If God don't say yes, we think he didn't answer. He answered, it was no.
Come on.
Oh, God did answer my question. Yes, he did. Or my prayer, yeah, he did. No. Because you can't take God's sovereignty and wrap it in your prayer life and make it disappear. God is in control. And what you think you gotta have, God said, you think you need that. You think you need that. Y'all heard me say before, many, many years ago, many, many years ago, when I was in my teens, I wanted waves. And since God forgot, since he forgot to give me that, because I used to see these dudes with waves, and they can turn their head in a certain, you watch people with wavy hair, they can turn their head in a certain direction, that sunlight hit it, they'd be like, wow. That's what we used to call good hair. And I wanted good hair. And God just gave me hair. Now I'm glad to have hair. But I used to put waves in it. And some of y'all, old enough, not many of y'all, but some of y'all, it's called Murray's. Murray's grease. It's made of cement. Put that grease in your hand, you got to get 400 strokes every day. I brush my hair every day for 13 years. I got waves. Oh, God, I have waves. That stuff was slick. It was hard, but it was nice. Because you don't never let anybody touch it. Don't touch. But what nobody told me was you don't let Murray's get wet. I went to school, y'all. I had on my little outfit, my way. I got it going out. Trying to impress girls. And on the way home, I'm walking home with this girl that I really like. She didn't like me at all, but I liked her. And it started raining. In a matter of 2 or 3 minutes, my hair was like this. I never saw her again. And what I thought was destructive, what I thought was devastating, was just a sign. It was just a sign. It was just a sign that you don't have to be what you're not. It's just a sign. Why don't you try to be satisfied with what God gave you? Why don't you try to be satisfied with the way it is? You're trying to be too much to fix somebody else. You're trying to be too much to impress somebody else. So you know what I learned? When despair overcomes you, it's just a journey sign. When you feel broken and fragmented, it's just a journey sign. It's not that God doesn't love you. Sometimes he just wants you to pray. Sometimes he wants you to cry out to him. Sometimes he wants you to call out. I celebrate you guys, Pastor Kay, Pastor Artie. I celebrate this marvelous work that you're doing, all of you. Thank you for helping my ministry, because when I was here 5, 6, 7 years ago, and I never told you because I was embarrassed. I didn't want to tell you. I wasn't going to tell you, but the Holy Spirit told me to tell you, is that I went back to synagogue and I copied some of your stuff. Yes, I said it. Yes, I said it. Yes, I said it. I went back and I copied some of the stuff. Now, I serve it so simple, it looked like a comic book. It is so simple. It is amazing. I don't care what you wear. I don't care how you wear it. As long as it ain't sexy, we cool. I'm okay. But let me tell you something. It was a sign. I didn't get jealous. I realized sometimes you need a journey sign to make a change. You need a journey sign to make things different. So don't get all bent out of shape when somebody hurts you. It's just a journey sign. If they leave you alone, it's just a journey sign. It's God getting your attention.
Yes. Thank you. Yes, sir.
That's all.
Yes, sir.
This was never about you. It was never about me. It was about the privilege of being a child of God and then never getting tired of doing what's right. I wish I had a dollar for your tears in these 20 years. I wish I had a dollar for every time you wondered if God was still listening.
Yeah.
I wish I had a dollar for every time you had to stand, preach, and teach and had a broken heart.
Yes, sir.
Till you could get somewhere and cry alone. But the truth of the matter is, you live life looking forward.
All right.
You learn life looking backwards. And you look back and say, wow, that's what that was for.
Yeah.
God wasn't abandoning me. He was making me stronger.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
God didn't quit talking to me. So my age alone, I can help you. I can help you by saying to you, quit thinking every hardship is a devilish attack. Because I don't care what the devil does, it still has to pass through.
Yes.
The permission of God.
Yes.
Do you realize that?
Yes, sir.
I don't care what evil he promulgates, it still has to pass through. God's sovereignty. God still allowed it.
Yes.
So when you start recognizing those signs, when I fractured my hip, I was out at the park. Wasn't trying to do nothing that a 73-year-old man shouldn't be doing. I wasn't trying to play no ball. Nothing. I was just walking gristly with my grandchildren. And since that time, since I blamed them for it, I don't do anything for them anymore. They can't eat at my house, nothing. You know, they said, Granddaddy, could we come over? No. Will we ever be able to come over again? No. Do you still love us? No. Cause had I not been out there with you, trying to be a great grandpa, I wouldn't be crippled. I don't know what God has for you two gentlemen, and I don't know what great work he has for this church. But if I could put this in some kind of perspective, if God never allowed you to do one more thing, and I know he is, but if he didn't, the work you have done, the people you have touched, have you ever wondered? I used to. Come get me. Come here. I'm going to my seat. I'm just still talking. But I'm done. I'm just going to my seat. Hold on. No, take this. Give me this. Now hold me. Hold me. I wish you would put your arms around my waist.
I got you.
I love you, but don't get it twisted. You ever wonder why people, you wonder why people leave you, leave your life, leave your ministry? And in so many ways, okay, let me go. I needed you for the stairs. I don't need you anymore. Just go. I used to wonder, oh Lord, why do you let me sow into people? Because we don't have a large ministry, we have a great ministry. And I said, why do you have me sow into so many people, and then when they get up in age, they go to a greater ministry? When I had you at your worst time, I used to have people who would drop their kids off at my church just for Sunday. The parents didn't want to stay with them. And I said, no, you come get this little devil. Come get them. If you ain't gonna stay with them, take them with you. And it made them stay. He said, okay, we'll stay. I didn't care how bad the kids were. We were gonna love them anyway.
That's right.
But you sow into them, Marty. 11 to 21. And then they find an attractive ministry and just simply bid you goodbye. Now they need to go and enhance someone else's ministry. That happens so many times, I quit crying about it. Because now I realize God showed me, he said, don't miss the sign.
That's right.
They're gonna take the things you taught.
Yes.
To places you'll never go.
Yeah, that's right.
So even though you have people who started with you but not in here now, they took your work somewhere else that you never think to go. So stay in, because I got something for y'all. Come here. Come here, both of y'all. Come here. Come here. Right there. Come here. It ain't much, but it's for you though. Just a little token. with emphasis on little. So don't, when you get home, you'll be like, what? Jesus Christ. He could have just changed a quarter. Here. You might be able to take your lovely wives to, well, you could at least get the Supreme. Taco Supreme. Yeah, baby. Yeah, you might be able to get that, but thank you all. You enhanced my ministry. The simplicity of this ministry has brought me great joy. I know I preached longer than he does, okay, but I'm only here once every 3 or 4 years. Come on. You know what I mean? So, God bless you, man. Love y'all. God bless you.